Good morning. Welcome to Dayton Mennonite Church. We invite you to stand with us and worship this morning. Our first song is a song we sang last Sunday, Living Hope. So why not have Easter last for two Sundays? So let's join in worship this morning.
Turn.
This next song is a little bit more personal. It's called He Knows My Name. And as we studied in our Sunday school lesson this morning, the bigness of God, His worthiness, we also remember that He cares for each one of us personally.
Good morning. I want to greet you in the name of Jesus this morning. I'd like to read from Psalm 84. And this was written into a song a long time ago. And it's often, that's what I associate. I can hear the music as I read this, but powerful stuff. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord Almighty. My soul yearns, even faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and flesh cry out for the living God. Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may have her young, and a place near your altar. O Lord Almighty, my King and my God, blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, who have set their hearts on pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make a place of springs. The autumn rains also cover it with pools. They go from strength to strength till each appears before God in Zion. Hear my prayer, O Lord, my God Almighty. Listen to me, O God of Jacob. Look upon your child, O God. Look with favor on your anointed one. Better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. For the Lord God is the sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those whose walk is blameless. O Lord Almighty, blessed is the man who trusts in you. I don't know what your story is this morning. If you're needing a place near the altar of refuge, I know that this time of the year is a time that we have an active enemy coming against the things of God. And we just celebrated the resurrection of Christ, celebrating the defeat of Satan. Sing to the Lord a new song this morning. I invite the ushers to come forward this morning's offering is for Congregational Operating Fund. That is the fund that is for the practical needs of the church, is in the electricity, the insurance, that kind of thing. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you for this church. I thank you that you lead your church, that you care for it, that you are at work here in Dayton, Virginia. Father, may this church be a place of hope and refuge for those that need it. May it be a place of deeper understanding and a church that is based on the Word of God. We just commit this building and everything that happens within it to your honor and to your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
The Green Life's Zion's Praises, 166. The last couple words of this hymn would say that we should have sang this last Sunday, but we didn't. It's one of my favorite Easter hymns. 166, In the Garden.
Thank you.
We are excited to have Paul Mast with us from New York for our renewal, revival, whatever you need. He's here to speak to it this morning. He is a friend of mine and a trusted brother of the word. Let's pray together. God, I want to thank you for Paul. I thank you for his life, for his faithfulness in pastoring and in bringing your word to many people. Thank you that he is here with us this morning, Lord, and we come against any enemy that desires to bring confusion, to bring any inability to hear, any ability to speak. May our eyes, ears, and spirits be open to the work that you have for us this morning. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Thank you, brother.
It is a privilege to be with each and every one of you this morning as we share together in God's word. And over the next, this morning, tonight, and tomorrow night. And the three things that I want to be speaking on, it's interesting that we've gone back a little bit, even this morning, into the Easter theme, because that's kind of where I'm going. The first two sermons that I have prepared is in the coming. And you may think of that as the coming of Christ, which as we get into the sermon, you'll understand it maybe a little more. That's not where I went with it. The call, and then Monday night will be the challenge that God leaves with each one of us. And if you want to know a little bit about us as a family or about me, my wife informed me on the way down yesterday on a Facebook memory that it was 10 years ago yesterday that I was ordained into ministry at the Croghan Mennonite Church in upstate New York. And if you're wondering what the weather's like in New York, if you think of New York this morning, it is snowing in New York. And so I know it feels cool here this morning, but it is not near as cool as New York. also, my wife Bonnie is with me this morning. We have six wonderful children, five girls and a boy. And our two oldest girls are married, and the oldest one has two grandchildren, and the second daughter has one grandchild, all three boys, and then the rest of them are kind of lined up down through to almost 15 is the youngest. And so if you want to see pictures, my wife will be glad to show you pictures of the grandkids. You might have to beg for pictures of the children to see pictures of the children, but the grandkids, she will show you pictures. What I have to share has been heavy on my heart as a pastor, not just for our church in upstate New York, but for the church in general. And I want to speak from Matthew 21 this morning is where I am taking the message from. And many of you will realize that that is the triumphal entry into Jerusalem as Jesus was making his way towards the end of his life. And as I read down through this, going through the chapters of the Bible here 3-4 weeks ago, I often view the triumphal entry as this great event, and it's exciting, and it's spectacular. And as I was reading it here 3-4 weeks ago, as I was reading down through this passage of Scripture, my heart all of a sudden got really heavy. And actually, as I was sitting at my computer studying, tears came as I thought about the triumphal entry. And as we read this morning, I want to kind of put ourselves there, and I want to kind of for us each individually this morning, want us to look at ourselves as we go through this passage of Scripture today. I'm not pointing to any one church. I'm not pointing to your neighbor that is sitting next to you. I'm not pointing to the neighbor that is living next to you. I'm talking that we each in our hearts look deep into ourselves over these next couple passages and messages and search our hearts as to why do we serve God? Why do we worship? And I found it interesting in Matthew 21, if we read the first few verses here, it says, "Now when they drew near to Jerusalem and came to Bethpage, to the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, 'Go into the village in front of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied, a colt with her. untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, you shall say, the Lord needs them, and he will send them at once. This took place to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet, saying, say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, a foal, a beast of burden. The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and put on them their cloaks, and he sat on them. Most of the crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. And the crowds that went before him and that followed him were shouting, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he had entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred up, saying, who is this? And the crowd said, this is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth of Galilee. As I read that passage of Scripture, I instantly could put myself in the shoes of the people that were there that day, in the shoes of the disciples. They had followed Jesus for 3 years now. They had seen all the things that Jesus had done, the miracles that Jesus had performed. And Jesus says to them, go and find this donkey and colt. And it doesn't read anywhere that they even questioned, that they were just going to go find this donkey and colt. And I don't know, we have farmers in the area here today, farmers in the crowd, I'm sure. And if I were to come to your farm and tell you, hey, give me this black cow and black calf right now, we're going to take them for Jesus, you would probably ask me some questions. But you don't see that happened. It says he gave them up and they brought them to Jesus. And now this is where the plot thickens for me. As they came to Jesus and as he put everything on and they put the cloaks on it, all of a sudden this crowd began to form. And church, this is where I want us to start looking at our hearts. This crowd began to form. There was a movement happening. And all of a sudden, the movement started to gain momentum. And somebody starts singing Hosanna. Now, I'm sure they were serious when they said this at the moment. And they sing Hosanna and they throw their things down and they worship him as Lord and Savior. He's coming to save the Jews from the Roman oppression. Does it sound a little familiar to what we are politically today? But they worship him during this moment. But what I want to look at this morning, what happened? What happened? And my mind immediately went to Matthew 7, 21 through 23. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and many mighty works in your name? And then I would declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. That's scary, church. And as I was sitting there that night, and as the tears were rolling down my face, and I was thinking, how many people in our church circles today are crying Hosanna, are crying Lord, Lord, are doing things in the name of Jesus, and yet we really have no relationship with him. We really don't have anything that we can tie ourselves to that says, yes, we are going, like we sang in that song, the hymn this morning, as we go to the garden with Jesus. Have we been there with him? And as we read down through this passage of Scripture this morning, there's some questions that I want to ask each one of us, and even questions I've had to answer for myself. You see, as Jesus went into Jerusalem, as he was riding on the donkey, and as he was being praised and honored as God and King and Hosanna, where's the first place he goes to after he gets to Jerusalem? He goes to the church. He goes to the place where people are supposed to be worshiping God the Father. And what do we read that he does? In verse 12, it says, "And Jesus entered the temple and drove out all who sold and bought in the temple and overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold pigeons. And he said to them, 'It is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of robbers.' And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and they healed them. But when the chief priests and the scribes saw the wonderful things that he had done, and the children crying out in the temple, 'Hosanna to the Son of David,' they were indignant, and they said to him, 'Do you hear what these are saying?' And Jesus said to them, 'Yes. Have you never read, out of the mouth of infants and nursing babies, you have prepared praise?' And then leaving them, he went out of the city to Bethany and lodged there." Jesus went to the church and he cleaned house. And that is where the title of the message comes this morning: the coming. The question I have for us this morning is, if Jesus were coming to the town of Dayton and we brought him in on a donkey, on a horse, as king and lord of our lives, and he shows up into the church building, what would he find? To go a little deeper into that, I want to go into Revelations. And we know the passage of Scripture, probably many of us by heart, out in Revelations chapter 2. It goes into the story of the seven churches that is talked about in Revelation. Now, you can debate whether this was actually seven churches or maybe this is the point of each one of us in our lives. I'm not going to get into that this morning. But I want us to take a look at what we see here. If Jesus were to come to your church this morning, what would he say? If God was to write a letter and it was to be brought in into your church, would it read something like this? "To the angel of the church of Ephesus write the words of him who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks among the seven golden lampstands. I know your works, your toil, and your patient endurance. And you cannot bear with those who are evil." Like, those are good things. "I know how hard you've been working. I know how hard you've been toiling for the kingdom and your patience and endurance in many different situations. And yet, how you cannot bear evil. But have tested those who call themselves apostles and are not, and found them to be false." Like, this is a good church. "I know you are enduring patiently and bearing up for my name's sake, and you have not grown weary. You have kept the fight, you have kept going, but I have this against you. You have abandoned your first love." Now, I read that many times, and even as an avid sports fan and as an avid hunter and as an avid, there's a lot of things that I love. And I often question in our circles as I go from church to church to church, and as you speak, it doesn't take long to be around somebody till you find what they really love. It doesn't take long. You don't have to be in somebody's presence very long till you find how much they really love or what's first. And so this is the first gut check for Paul this morning. For myself, like, I can do all these things really well that are listed here. I can live a life that is good, that God would be pleased with. But he said, "You have forgotten what your first love is." What is our first love? It's a question each one of us have to answer. And he says, "If you don't take care of this, I'm going to come and remove the lampstand from you." It's serious. This is a serious thing. To love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, and with all our mind. To love our neighbor as ourself. To go into all the world and preach and teach the gospel. And baptize people in the name of Jesus. That's what these three messages are about this week. And I hope we can grasp that. I hope we can understand that calling. And I hope you can take a look into your own life and ask yourself just questions. Like, where am I? You could be the church of Smyrna, who he admired for his tribulation and poverty. And he foretold that they were going to suffer persecution. You could be the church of Pergamum, who was located where Satan's seat is and need to repent of allowing false teachers. You could be the church of Thyatira, known for the charity of whose latter works are greater than the former, who tolerates the teachings of false prophets. Again and again, as I stand here before you this morning, I'm not pointing a finger at Dayton in these areas. I know your pastors. I know they teach the word of God. But I want us to look at it even a deeper. It's not just about the church. It's about us individually. It's about me. And again, as many times in our lives, as we look around, we're so concerned about the church. We're so concerned about what everybody else is doing that we forget what's first and foremost in our lives, and that is us, our hearts. What do we allow for false teaching in our life? Where do we go to? What source do we go to for the truth? This is personal for us as a couple this morning. We had a dear friend who started watching YouTube videos over the last couple years. And has taken a path completely away from Christianity. Because she didn't go to the source. And it's heartbreaking to watch. But it's a reminder for me, especially as a pastor, and I'm sure for each one of us, I pray that we look to the source for truth, for false prophets. And I would pray that each one of you, and I tell my church this all the time, as I am preaching, do not take this, what I say, and just think, well, that's the gospel. I pray that I'm right. I pray that I've studied it out and have it right. But you know, there's sometimes we misspeak. There's sometimes we say things that don't come out right. And I want to be checked on that. And I'm sure Mike and Micah can say the same, and Sean as well. So after we read this passage of scripture about Jesus and as he came into the church and as he cleaned the church and the question is, what would he say to us? What would he say to me? Where's he going to find? What's he going to find in my heart this morning? Is he going to find the church of Laodicea? He said, "You're not either hot nor cold. And I'd rather spit you out of my mouth. You're lukewarm." And I cannot help, again, to go back to that day as the church people are laying down palms and singing Hosanna. And as Jesus is riding on this colt and he's looking at them and he can see through their hearts and he's like, this is just a game. This is just a show. As he looks into your heart this morning, what's he seeing? Why did you come to the Dayton Mennonite Church this morning? Did you come out of habit? Oh, this is where we've always come. We'll just go on Sunday morning and our church is done and our week is done and we've served the Lord this week. Hallelujah. Let's go home now. We've put in our 2 or 3 hours. It's lukewarm at best. Lukewarm at best. The next thing Jesus does is he walks over to a fig tree in Matthew 21:20. And when the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, "How did the fig tree wither at once?" And Jesus answered them, "Truly I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what has been done to this fig tree, but even if you say to the mountains, 'Be taken up and thrown into the sea,' it will happen. And whatever you ask in prayer, you will receive it if you have faith." And so the second thing, as Jesus comes into our lives and into our churches today, what is he seeing for fruit? Because he says, if this fig tree, if this person, if this church does not have fruit, it is meaningless to me. Wither it up, throw it away, burn it in the fire. The choice, church, is ours. Jesus says at the end of this verse in 22, whatever you ask in prayer, you will receive if you have faith. Whatever you ask. So church, this morning, if I'm standing before you, and in Galatians 5, 22 and 23, we read the fruits of the Spirit. If I'm standing before you this morning and I don't have love, what must I do? I ask. I ask God to give me love for those who love me, right? No, I ask God to give me love for those who hate me. I ask God to give me love for those who persecute me. Because you see, church, we have a world that is watching us, and they're watching us closely. And you know what? It is very easy for me and Micah to show each other love because we're friends. And the world say, "Oh, they're good friends." Now, if I took it a step farther and I had to go somewhere where somebody absolutely hated me and I could show that person love, what does that say? This isn't normal. This isn't the way that it's usually done. We like to lash out about each other. In fact, if we want to, I don't want to get political this morning, but if we are on the right side, it is very easy to lash out at those on the left. That's just normal. But what happens if we tell somebody that is right or left, "We're praying for you. We love you. We want what's best for you"? That speaks in the world we live in today. If we lack joy, if we lack peace, if we lack patience, if we lack kindness, if we lack goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, we just need to ask. And God says, Jesus says here, "In whatever you ask in prayer." In Matthew 3:8, we read this, "Bear fruit in keeping with repentance." You see, a lot of times as we go to God in prayer, what happens? God will reveal things in our lives, in my life anyway. As I'm praying, and I say, "Lord, is there anything in my life that's out of place that I need to repent of?" And I can guarantee you that if there's something out of place, the Holy Spirit will reveal that to me. And then my job? It's to repent of that. And I've seen a beautiful illustration of this. What time am I supposed to be done, Micah? Church, what time do you usually get done? 10 till? All right. And so I seen a beautiful illustration of this when I took a young man that was a part of our community, and I took him to a Land of Promise seminar. And as we were going things through his life where he needed to repent of, and as he was repenting of them, as we drove home from Lancaster, Pennsylvania, back to New York, we're driving along, and he says, "Look at the dash." And I looked at the dash of my car, and it looked like the dash of a car. And I said, "Joey, what are you talking about?" He goes, "Look at the dash." And he told me what was on the dash. And he said, "I need to repent." You see, if we are truly seeking God, if we are truly seeking the fruits of the Spirit, and if we are truly searching after Jesus, he will put things right in front of us to ask us to repent of them. Why? Because he wants a church that is bearing fruit. He wants a church that is full of love and peace and gentleness and forgiveness and self-control. That's what he wants from his church, his people. He wants a people that are absolutely in love with him. Because church, he is coming. Whether we want to admit it or not, whether we want to believe it or not, whether we look at the times that we are in, the Lord is coming, but Jesus is coming back. What will he find? And it's better that we sit here this morning and we ask ourselves these questions and we dig in to what God is asking each one of us to do. So when he comes back for the spotless bride that he is looking for. The third thing, and I was just going to skim through it quickly this morning, is as Jesus went in verses 23 through 27, Jesus' authority is challenged by the church. As he went back in the temple, they start questioning him about his authority, what gave him the authority to do this. And again, as we look at the situations that we are in today, what authority do we have as Christians? What authority do we have to speak about Jesus? And again, I don't have to look very far in churches. In fact, we were going through a Bible study here about 2 years ago, a men's Bible study, and we were reading through Corinthians, and I don't remember an exact passage, and we got done reading, and one of the men at our table says, "I don't like that verse," or "I don't like that chapter." That's hard to do. And again, as we walk through that and as we live that out, what is happening in our society today around us? When we're reading through what the authority of God is, when we're reading through what the passages say to us, we're reading through what the gospel says to us, and what is right and what is wrong. What is happening in our churches today? Now, I love my Bible. I won't do it. But what is happening is they're taking page by page and they're ripping it out and they're throwing it away because they don't like what it says. And that's what happened here with Jesus as he went to the temple. They were asking him, "What authority do you have?" And Jesus said, "I have all authority." And as we read through Scripture, Hebrews 4:12, "For the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing the division of the soul and spirit and joints and marrow, and discerning the thoughts and the intentions of" what? The heart. The word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. This is the authority, whether we like it or not. And we are to live by it. We are to live by it. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, "All scripture is breathed out of God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work." Jesus lays it on the line for each one of us in the end of this chapter. When he says the stone, verse 42, Jesus said to them, "Have you ever read in Scripture, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone? This was the Lord's doing, and is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore," Jesus, these are Jesus' words, "therefore I tell you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to people producing its fruits." The kingdom, this is Jesus' words, "the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to people producing its fruit. And the one who falls on the stone will be broken to pieces. And when it falls on anyone, it will crush him." Church, we have an obligation. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. And I don't know many people in this church building. I don't know where you're at. I don't know what you're struggling with. I don't know where you've been, lukewarm, whatever. I don't know any of that. But I know this passage has been heavy on my heart for the church in general. 10 years I've pastored. And I am not the ultimate judge. But I see a lot of people. on Sunday morning laying palm branches down. And on Friday, ready to kill Jesus. How did that happen? How did that happen? Tonight, we're going to look at the call that Jesus leaves for each one of us. I pray today, this morning, this afternoon, as you go home, and as you look in your heart and into your life, if there are things that need to be taken care of, if there is fruit that's not visible, if there is anything that you need to take care of, that you do that. If you have questioned the authority of Jesus, if you have questioned the authority of God's word, take care of that. Take care of that. I challenged our church back in January. How many here want to see a great revival? There's a few. As we think about a great revival, what's it going to take? And I would challenge each one of you to pray that God sends you one. One person that you can disciple. One person that you can share the love of God with. One person that you can walk with. And maybe bring them to the understanding of salvation and what it is. That your life can bear fruit. And church, if you think about it, I don't know how many are here this morning. But if you think about if each one of you, even if it was 20% or 10%, that got one to come in the next year. And then challenge yourself again to do another one. What would the church look like in a few years? My prayer is that we understand that Jesus is coming. He's coming. Are we ready and are our hearts ready for what he would have for each one of us? Shall we pray? Our dear Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning, Lord, and I thank you for this church, Lord. I thank you for each individual that is here today. Lord, I pray for myself and for those who are sitting here today. Lord, may we understand that you are coming. And Lord, you have called us to bear fruit. You have called us to love you, and you've called us to many things which you're going to look at over the next couple nights, Lord. And I'm so thankful that we have the authority of God's word to show us these things. Lord, I pray a blessing over each person that is here today. And Lord, I pray that they continue to fall deeper and deeper in love with you. And Lord, that someday heaven will look different because of the men and women and young people in this church. In your precious name I pray. Amen.
Zion Praises 354. Depth of mercy.
Mercy still, the reason for me.
3:28, springs of living water.
Thank you, Paul, for the powerful message. If you are here this morning and you find yourself stuck in a place of needing refreshed or renewed, or maybe you've never accepted Jesus as your Savior, reach out to someone that you trust and allow the Spirit of God to come within you and be renewed. A couple of announcements. If you have an announcement, you can make your way forward at this time. But tonight's service is at 6:30. As well as Monday evenings at 6:30. So please take note of that. Garland?
You'll notice in your bulletin that Friday evening, the Gospel Echoes will be doing a program here. They sent me an envelope with some flyers in it. If you would like to put up a flyer for that at your work or wherever you are, see me after church. I can get one of those to you. That's at 7 o'clock Friday night.
Please take note of other announcements in the bulletin, the baby shower, and as well as a fuller announcement that I'm going to make, but the DMC Life Center auction is happening back in the back lot May 9th. That's when it's live. It is currently live on Mountain Valley Auctions or Enlisted Auctions, and you can scan this QR code down here at the bottom and get to that website if you don't know how. But there are plenty of these flyers available in the back. Please take one to remind yourself, but also if you have a place of business or someone, want to give them to someone, please feel free to do so as well. I invite you to stand at this time as we close in a morning prayer. Let's pray together. God, I want to thank you for the word that has been spoken. May we be not just hearers of the word, but doers. Father, I think we would do well to all study those churches in Revelation and just allow your Spirit to speak to us of where are we on this journey. Where are we individually? Where are we as a church? Father, make us your hands and feet. May we take seriously the challenge of one more, one more. God, there's so many around us. It's easy to talk. It's easy to complain. It's easy to rant, whatever it may be, about the things we see in the world that we don't like, about the things in the church we don't like, about the things in our lives that we don't like. But yet, we desire to be a church that brings them to the cross and lays them down. We desire to be used by you to the world as a place of refuge. Father, I want to pray for Sam Whitmer this morning as he's having some health issues. I pray for him. I pray that you would be with their family as they're trying to figure out what to do and what's going on with him. Just be near them. For the other many health concerns here, Lord, you know which ones feel defeated, which ones feel lost, those that need your presence ever dear to them in this time, Lord. And we just ask that you would go an extra measure to them. And I pray that we would be a church that does well with those that are in suffering, Lord. May we walk well with those brothers and sisters around us. Father, we pray for this building project in the back. We once again just give it to you. We ask that you would just take care of the funding, that take care of the planning, that it would turn out far better than what we ever imagined, that we would be people that are quick to be generous and quick to give to the cause of God here in Dayton. Lord, we just ask that you lay it on our hearts, not just to give money, but to be a part of the ministry that flows out of that building. Just getting the building does nothing if we are not people who are going to be using it for your purposes and spreading your word through it. God, as we go from here and come back tonight, help us to be expectant. Help us to be expectant to change. Expecting you to convict us as we come. Expecting us to leave different than when we came. And Father, we just ask for your Spirit to come upon us now and in the future. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You are dismissed.